Right now, if you're scaffing, critting, screeding, HVACing, dunny diving, or electricianing and sparking, then you don't want to be sitting on the side of the road with a work truck that's smoking. You could get an insurance company that includes roadside assistant for when your work truck ain't starting and needs towing. Get on to truckassist.com.au. It's insurance to keep on earning and bacon and egg rolling. Limits and exclusions apply. Consider the PDS and TMD on the Truck Assist website.
This week on Full Credit to the Noise, the supercars are drying out from New Zealand, but are we headed over there for two rounds in 25? And I've got some specials from Super Cheap Auto. Welcome to Full Credit to the Noise. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Noise. You can find this podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at FCTTN Podcast. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke across from me on Twitter at AVL_motorsport. He's on Instagram at AVL.motorsport. He's on TikTok at AVL.dances. He's a man who this week has been busy spotting Liam Lawson in Taupo. He regrets trying to change Chas Mostert's wheels on Saturday, and tonight he's wearing a new pair of Ugg boots. Welcome to Speed Cafe's Andrew Van Leeuwen.
It's a great intro as always, former, and apologies to Chas. I'll make sure I stay in my lane from now on. It was definitely Ugg boot weather for much of the Taupo weekend, although they would have got a bit soggy on the Saturday, I reckon, if you were wearing your Uggs.
Out in
the field, it did not stop. Pretty unpleasant for the poor people sitting out there. I obviously didn't have to sit in the rain, so this is a slightly rich thing to say, but I didn't mind a bit of cold weather because it still feels like the middle of summer in Perth, or at least it did up until I left. So a bit of cool weather and a bit of rain was a welcome change for me.
So tell us, how was it, mate? What was the general feeling walking around the track? I know you did a lap on Friday whilst the cars were out. What was it like?
The whole event was awesome, like weather aside, and I guess probably the Kiwis are pretty good at dealing with the weather like that. Like it's maybe not the massive turn off that it would be if it happened somewhere like Perth, where people would go, well, I'm just absolutely not going outside at any of that. But from track to town on the Thursday right through to Sunday and that amazing race between the Triple Eight drivers, it was a cracking weekend. You know, the Kiwis were so happy to have supercars back. The town was jumping. The track and the facilities worked. I think it's a good outcome. I think that it's nice to sort of have it based around a town as opposed to, you know, if you're in Hampton Downs and you're sort of on the outskirts of, you know, Auckland, you're sort of near where I am right now in Manukau or something like that. You're not kind of, you know, this was in a town and the whole town got behind it. There were supercar signs in every shop. It was a pretty good weekend for a few of the pubs as well, I would have thought. Yeah, it was just a good weekend. It had that Townsville / Darwin / Bathurst kind of vibe to it. It was an absolute cracker.
On screen, it looked like the crowd was very impressive. The cars in the paddocks looked diabolical because I could only imagine what that was like after it all finished. But massively attended, clearly. The track looked a little bit like Winton and Wakefield combined together. I tell you what it didn't look like, the 98 corners that reminded Larko of, because he did a whole segment about this corner was from Hidden Valley, and then at the end of it, even he ran out of steam explaining what it all meant. He was like, I don't even know why I did this.
I didn't see that. I think that it's certainly like it's a purpose-built racing facility. You know, it's not a street circuit. It's not a glamour track, but it was good spectating. Like, as you mentioned before, like I did a lap of the entire track during Pracky on Friday, one of the benefits of that nice long session. And like over the back straight, you got a great view. You could see the cars for so much of the lap and they're sort of ducking and diving. There was actually a fair bit of undulation in the track that I don't know if that
came
across
on
TV.
No, it looked flat. It really did. We're
not talking about, you know, ginormous hills and blind corners and stuff, but there was definitely sort of flowing, rolling ups and downs around there. And the cars looked good. The cars looked good out there. So maybe it sort of looked better in person than it did on TV. But again, it's not. And Pukekohe was exactly the same. That wasn't a princess of a circuit. It was just a racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, like a good, this is a functioning racetrack.
Balls
like
out
this
racetrack,
is,
yeah.
This is where motor racing happens, you know, and yep. That's very much what the what that track is. The facility, the pit lane was pretty tight. There was a few issues with getting cars in and out of the box, you know, how early you could set up, how diligent you had to be about not being set up too early because of how disruptive that would be to your pit lane neighbours if they were trying to pit around the same time. We saw that kind of get in the way of Chaz Mostert on Sunday in that race. So there's, you know, that's a kind of a factor there. It's not the most open and spacious pit lane in the world, but on the whole, the facilities are excellent. So, I'm very glad that that's where we went racing on the weekend. I think that it's a great place for that event.
I'll tell you what I'm a massive fan of for this part of the world, 9 o'clock practice sessions and qualifying. Awesome. Wake up, grab a coffee, turn the V8s straight on. It was amazing. The rain made the racing absolutely awesome on Saturday. That was edge of your seat stuff. Andre Heimgartner was an absolute star.
Yep.
The return of Brody was good to see in many ways, although watching the Supercars commentary team avoid talking about where he's been was quite comical. We had to put up, I flicked over to Formula One because that was also on around sort of 1 o'clock on Saturday. It was great. I had to put up a Sky Sports dream team of Croft and Kravitz passively cheering for Danny Ricciardo's bad luck and fawning over Lewis Hamilton coming from the rear of a grid to dribble into ninth. His teammate, by the way, cemented sixth all race. Once again, Max hosed the field despite a compromised pit strategy, pole position, fastest lap, won the sprint, but not mentioned in the infamous Driver of the Day award, AVL, one of my bugbears, as you know. Mm-hmm. And bugger me dead, it went to another British driver in Lando Norris. He won that prestigious award and it was mentioned in the press conferences. So it was a good weekend to be by the box, especially on Saturday when it was raining. I did not envy anyone sitting out in that for those hour or two when it absolutely hosed down.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been too much fun, and we'll get onto this now, but you know, a Kiwi win at least was something for those guys. I thought that was actually a really fitting win on
really
Saturday
good, yeah,
for the
yeah.
guys that sat out there in the rain all day to see a homegrown driver, someone who has family around that Taupo area yep. and has spent a lot of time there. I think that was a very fitting win for the people that really braved it out.
Yeah, and it was good for Brad Jones too with the history with Jason Richards.
Absolutely, yeah.
Their history around New Zealand, so that was a good too. So it was a good weekend, yeah.
They've had a shocking run as well. Talk about a result that was badly needed.
Yeah, I think when you've got four cars, it's hard to get everyone up the front, but you do notice when three of them are really languishing, and even on the weekend, that was close to the mark. All right, let's go to the shift cut. Well, let's hit stories from New Zealand as we just half covered off on race one in belting down rain. Cameron Waters won pole position in conditions that got worse as each car headed out for the shootout, which was a little bit unfair, but that's just the way it rolls. But at the start, Waters found yet another driver with no spatial awareness. This time, Tim Slade pretty much ended both drivers' races within 50 metres of the start. That's how Waters would see it anyway. I don't think it was Tim's fault, to be honest. As they belted into each other and the wall. And then in the race, we had the fairy tale winner in Andre Heimgartner in his BJR mobile. Shell DJR, that's right. Remember them? They filled the minor placings while there was a heartbreak for Chaz Mostert with a wheel departing his chariot as he left pits after his final stop, just as he was readying himself for a fight for the win. Richie Stanaway sprang up 17 spots to 6, become the most recent bloke named the Rainmaster. LeBrock went up 11 spots to 5th. Cameron Hill plummeted 14 spots to 20th after a stellar qualifying effort. That's pretty much my take of everything that happened. What about you?
Yeah, look, there's nothing new about Stanaway being the Rainmaster. Remember, you know, that stint at Bathurst, which really kind of put him, I think that was in the monster car just after they'd won Sandown, that really yep. kind of put him in the that put him in the frame to land a full-time drive. They still, Triple Eight said last year, they still use that footage. He's on board to look at and sort of learn about driving cars in the wet at Bathurst. Like, that's how good that stint actually was. Coming back to the Pookie, we're going to do that a few times, I think. coming back to the Taupo, the first Taupo race. Yeah, at the start, I don't think Slade or Waters really did much wrong there, to be honest, former. Like, either of them, it's really easy to say that Slade should have backed off, but, you know, he got a ripper start. And the advantage of leading in the wet is huge, so I think he can be forgiven for keeping his boot into it. At the same time, Cam's trying to walk the thing off the road and probably wasn't expecting someone to be coming through that quickly. I spoke to Cam on Saturday evening, he wasn't at all really upset with Tim. He kind of got it. It was just one of those things. He was more upset about starting the race as a standing start in the rain. He was talking about how the obviously the cars on the front row have to go straight over the painted white lines that sort of signal the start of the start finish line basically. So it's harder for them to get going. I had it pointed out to me afterwards that they actually use a special grippy paint to avoid that, so it's not as big an issue. It might just be that the cam didn't walk the car off the line as well. Mm-hmm. It comes from MotoGP. I think they use this paint. They use the same paint at that Taupo circuit. So I'm always against changing things just because it's wet. I think if it's wet, they should do the standing start. You know, I just think that's, and there are advantages and disadvantages that come from that. As you mentioned before, Cam kind of ended up on pole because he got the best of the track conditions in the shootout. So, you go, oh, good.
I knew he wasn't meant to be there anyway.
Yeah, you have a good win there and then you don't. And again, that's not having a crack at Cam. I get his frustration when you've been on pole. And if you look at how quick he was in the race, he probably would have been pretty hard to beat if he'd managed to get around turn one. So I sort of get his frustration as well, but I would always, and it's easy when you're sitting in the media center, not in a race car, but I would always side with, I'm always one that says, let's go racing, and let's go racing like normal. Cause that's what we do at a club meeting. If it's raining, we all line up and start and go driving. Like that's just how it goes. It is definitely worth highlighting how good a drive that was from Andre Heimgartner too. The way he soaked up that Mostert pressure, in those conditions was absolutely brilliant. I just think that was, that was as impressive a drive as I've seen for a very long time. Who knows what would have happened if Mostert's car had retained all its wheels. But I think that there was nothing undeserving about that win for Andre because he was holding his own against Chaz. He really was, which was very impressive. And as I mentioned before, for those poor fans, what a fantastic result that was.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much covered off that entire race. Well, we headed to race two on Sunday, dry, cool conditions. Matt Payne snavelled his first shootout pole. While in the race, the two Red Bulls finished 1-2. Will Brown called it the best race of his life. Anton Di Pasquale ran third and in turn scored the Jason Richards Trophy for most points over the weekend. James Golding jumps 11 spots to fifth, while the returning Brody Kostecki dropped 9 spots to run, I think it was about 13th. Tim Slade fell 13 spots to greet the flag in 14th or so, somewhere around that. Anyway, AVL, what else on that race? Because I felt like take away the rain from Saturday and it was a little bit of a, it was a slower burn up until when the two Red Bulls came together and raced hard, but absolutely fair.
Yeah, I think it turned into an amazing race, and that's what the idea of these, two CPS races are. It's not always just going to be a barn burner from the green flag. It's they're strategic races. And obviously that turned into a brilliant race between those two Red Bull cars. Quite amazing given where they sort of started the weekend, because they didn't look all that quick on Friday, didn't look all that quick for much of the race on Saturday, and then suddenly they're absolutely braining the field on Sunday, which is a very Triple Eight thing to do. I was chatting to Mark Dutton afterwards, and he was talking about the tension between the race engineers. When those guys were going at it, he had to calm them down a few times. And it's always one of those funny things, because the drivers were talking about in the press conference, they're talking about how much fun they're having. When you're in the car, they're bashing doors and they're having a ball, and the poor engineers are in there just making, they're just sick with nerves and they don't want anything to go wrong while they're watching these two guys race. And obviously they want to beat each other as well. Engineers are like race drivers, and the first bloke you got to beat is the guy that's standing on the laptop, across the other side of the garage. There were no great concerns from the team, in terms of the team leadership that the two were going to crash into each other. They're both very, very good race car drivers. What Dutto was saying is it's very easy to dislodge a rear bar and get black flagged.
Right, right.
Which was something they were monitoring. So there was, the word was out for there to be, no big rear contact. You wouldn't worry about that if you're racing another team car. But you do worry about when you're racing your own car, because if you dislodge it and the car gets a black flag, then you've just cost yourself a 1-2. So, anyway.
Thank Christ Lance Stroll wasn't there.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, what's really interesting is that Will Brown has the edge in speed at the moment, and that's something – it's actually something that the team wants to try and understand before the next round in Perth, and that's another thing Dutto said, we want to know why Will was so much quicker than Brock in that race.
I bet they do. We'll get onto that later. Stories to come out of New Zealand was Tony Quinn, and congratulations to him, who owns the Taupo circuit. And he also owns Hampton Downs on the North Island. He's already said that he will be proposing a double header comprising of these two circuits, two supercars, after the weekend successful event where 68,000 people pass through the gates over the 3 days. AVL, is there a chance that we might be going or staying there for a couple of weeks next year?
This whole two rounds thing is really interesting, right? So
I love it.
This event is now federally funded, whereas before the City of Auckland used to, or Auckland Unlimited, or Auckland, the tourism arm of the City of Auckland used to pay for the event. So obviously there could never be two events when you've got Auckland paying for it, because the whole point of it is that everyone from all around New Zealand has to flock to Auckland to come and go to this event. And that makes sense. That was when it was at Pukekohe, which fell inside the Auckland city limits. Now this is federally funded because we're not racing in Auckland, we're racing in Waikato. That door is open for a second event. But here's the thing. There is still a question mark over whether two rounds is a good idea and or a viable idea. Because on the surface, it seems like an absolute no-brainer, given how good the Pukekohe days were, how amazing Taupo was. But I guess you have to really consider if having another event 2 hours down the road, a week before or after, would long-term yield two capacity crowds like we saw at Taupo on the weekend. You know,
it'd be an easy sell for New Zealand tourism, to Aussie tourists who their V8s, come for one weekend, stick around and have a look around for another week, and then go to the races the next weekend.
I think that you would get a massive up, like it would happen initially. You know, you have to think a bit long term about this, because if you rolled out a second event next year, it would fly. Like you would probably sell both events out, but would you continue to do that long term? Yes, it's like something to try and market to Aussies, but remember, Supercars wants Supercars fans in Australia going to Supercars events in Australia as well. Is the philosophy of having two decent events what Supercars wants in New Zealand? Or is the preference for one bumper event? And I don't know. One of the issues with Taupo is that the capacity of the venue isn't that big. You know, we're sort of 40 or 50,000 short of what you get at a Pukekohe. So maybe they do need another event to get the numbers up. But it was certainly that there were different people with different ideas sort of kicking about in the paddock on the weekend about how successful it would actually be in 5 or 6 years' time when you've got two back-to-back events 2 hours away from each other, you know?
Well, let's find out in 5 or 6 years' time. Signed a 3-year deal. Let's go racing. The one thing I was wondering about is what happened if someone wrecks a car in the first event?
Yeah.
Is there a time to get stuff over and get it repaired for the second event?
Well, they're running with so much little gear as well. But
that's right.
Coming back to the crowd thing, what probably does make sense is to go to the South Island, but there's some issues there. You know, one is that there doesn't seem to be a really standout suitable venue at the moment that doesn't need a lot of money spent on it.
Yeah.
And the cost of transporting the cars down there, given the teams don't have their trucks, is not insignificant either. So it's not a case of, we're already here, it doesn't cost that much to go down. You know, let's say they did upgrade Highlands to a point where it could host supercars, then it's not getting down there isn't actually all that easy or cheap. Right. So another theory that was doing the rounds in the paddock over the weekend was that instead of flying the cars to New Zealand like they do,
right?
Teams, another option would be that teams ditch the A trailers off their trucks because they have an A and a B trailer on their trucks. Mm-hmm. Yep. Ditch the A trailer, pack the cars into the B trailers, which is obviously where they go anywhere. And actually, the practical stuff of running the cars generally go in the B trailers. Mm-hmm. Drive them all onto a row ship, a roll on roll off ship, and ship the whole lot to New Zealand. Still very expensive. Obviously, takes more time, but then they've got their trucks and perhaps getting around. You know, the mobility becomes a little bit easier, even though you have to obviously ferry from North to South Island and that sort of stuff. So that's another theory. You know, some people will say, well, Supercars are working on this. It seems more like some teams have sort of floated it and gone, hey, could we look at doing this potentially? At the end of the day, we're just going to have to see on this one. Like Tony Quinn did say on Sunday that he likes to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. He's got deep pockets, and all these issues can be solved with money. At the end of the day, like that's really what it comes down to. So I think it's definitely a wait and see. The door is definitely further open on a second event than it's probably ever been, just because of the new funding model.
any chance the Wellington Street Track returns?
That would be unreal. That's probably what would be the absolute ultimate outcome. But geez, they cost a lot of money, former. They cost a lot of money, mate.
At hairpin, these new cars might even get around that thing with the turning circles.
Nah, there. But I mean, like a high-profile street circuit somewhere in the South Island or something like that would be amazing. You know, that is obviously that would
the dream.
But yeah, but geez, that's we're talking about big government investment at that point.
All right, let's talk about the track to town, because part of the festivities on Thursday was a track to town parade where all 24 cars headed down the public road into Taupo. Had the first win of the weekend, I understand, AVL. Anything you want to elaborate on there?
We don't know anything official, but there was certainly some there was some rumours about the winner of the Track to Town Grand Prix.
Right.
There were figures like 193 kilometres an hour being banded around, but I've got absolutely no idea. Look, it was great fun. The police seemed to happily turn a blind eye to a few of the things the drivers were doing to make it a bit more fun. JC was ripping skids absolutely everywhere, including when he took off at the end of it, like, from, you know, actually in town. The drivers really enjoyed it. It was a win. It was a win for everyone, basically. You know, there were people at that event on Thursday evening talking about how they'd missed out on tickets. So, like, this was their chance to see supercars.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was rammed. Like, I don't know what they've said. I can't remember what they said numbers-wise, but whatever they said is right. Like, it was absolutely heaving. Mm. And it turns out that if you take your really cool racing cars to the people, it helps them understand that they're really cool racing cars.
Who knew?
Like, it's amazing how effective it is to go, hey, everyone, look at this. But, like, the street, the road back into Taupo was lined with people. Like, no joke, it was insane. So, I don't think this is the last we've seen of Track to Town, even this year, between you and me, former.
Well, surely Bathurst will get a gig. They'll get a Guernsey. They've already tried that a little.
That's right. And I think they've now proven that, you know, it's not that much harder to send all of them into town. So,
yeah.
I would definitely be thinking that, and I don't think that's all we'll be seeing, but that's all I can say on that at this very moment.
Any chance that you could get them to hang down towards Fremantle and test out a street circuit down there while we're...
We did make some jokes. I was talking to a couple of drivers about they should just rip down the freeway from Wanneroo into...
Have a look around.
It's about a 40-minute drive. They'd probably need to have a CPS on the way down to refuel, but it could be good fun watching them all just rip down the Mitchell Freeway.
A couple of quick stories. The Gen 3 supercar prototypes are both for sale. The championship has announced Supercars itself owns both the Chev Camaro and the Ford Mustang, which were built for initial development of the Gen 3 rule set. They broke cover at the 21 Bathurst, of course, tested a variety of tracks. They've gone through... No, they didn't. These aren't the ones that went through the wind tunnel, are they? But both cars, if you're interested, can be found on Facebook Marketplace, but don't lowball them. They know what they've got.
Yeah, I think I want to know if you can get it reverted back to the leg-numbing option that they originally came in, you know, when they rolled those chassis out and, you know, anyone over about a metre and a half tall...
Shane, not a fan at all.
Couldn't feel their legs after three laps. That's the spec. I want it in a proper original spec if I'm buying one of these things.
All jokes aside, what are they going to go for?
I got no idea.
Be a hell of a car to buy.
Yeah.
I
still reckon if I was... This came up on the weekend. I think because last weekend I was up at Wanneroo and a couple of these spec cars were running. If I just had way too much money to spend, I'd have a late project blueprint H-pattern car. Would just be mint. Like, just cool cars.
Yeah.
Very cool cars. That's what I'd buy if I had too much money and I just wanted a supercar to go burn around
in. Or that weird-looking Mustang that looked like Homer Simpson designed it, kicked off.
Oh, yeah.
The new oil pumps for Fords, this story will come out tomorrow morning, so hopefully this podcast comes just out. Yeah.
That's the plan. If we all get our ducks in a row, that's how it's going to work.
What's the story around this?
Yeah, so it's just the latest hardware change for the Ford engines. Obviously, they changed a lot of the hardware when they sort of revised that motor. It means that the oil pump needs to be effectively, it's very difficult to explain because I'm not overly technical, but needs to be have a longer shaft on it. There's a production pump that will do the job. Getting hold of stuff is pretty hard at the moment around the world, as everyone knows. So it's they've sort of had a makeshift solution in place. Some of the teams ran the new pumps on the weekend. The rest should be coming reasonably soon and will be rolled out. Oh, not a performance thing. Doesn't make the engine go any faster, but obviously oil drive is a fairly critical part of your motor not going kablamo.
And a longer shaft, you say. I mean, who doesn't love that? Let's talk about Aussies and Kiwis abroad over the weekend. In the Formula One, Max Verstappen, as I said, cruised a victory. While a dumb move from Formula One's window licker, Lance Stroll, eliminated our mate Daniel Ricciardo. Oscar Piastri had his rear diffuser damaged in the same Stroll blunder, and he battled to eighth. Daniel had a DNF. Scotty McLaughlin, probably the biggest thing that happened on his week was that he's announced that he's having a baby, which is lovely.
Yep.
Him and his partner. In the Grand Prix of Long Beach, he finished 26th with gearbox issues. Will Power finished 6th. Scott Dixon won. In SVG, he ran out of fuel while in contention for victory in an overtime finish in the Talladega NASCAR Xfinity Series, ultimately finishing 22nd. And then I think he had issues again last night in the main game. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. He actually led that race on merit as
couple
well.
Couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty impressive.
Around that wreck fest.
Yep.
And the final story. Despite Chinese officials declaring that the track surface at the Shanghai International Circuit had been resurfaced with new bitumen, teams were shocked to find that the track had actually been painted in places and not resurfaced. With F1 teams having done a lot of pre-event work in the simulator based on information from both Pirelli and the FIA, they were caught out when they arrived at the circuit on Wednesday by the visibly different track surface that wasn't resurfaced. It was just painted black. Which reminds me of the Chinese zoo that shaved up a long-haired golden retriever and tried to tell everyone it was a lion. I feel like this has got the same vibe about it.
Yeah, I just think Facebook Marketplace again, as you just mentioned, like it's just painting over something as rough as guts, and that's what it sounds like to me. It's actually hilarious. I love it.
Yeah, would you go to that Grand Prix for a look?
I was meant to cover that Grand Prix in 2018, and there was I hadn't booked my flights. I had I had the travel company at my previous employer did it, and they listed Van as my middle name, not as my surname. So when I got to the airport, I was alerted that I may have trouble getting out of the country, and I decided I didn't need to go to Shanghai all that badly. And I got my bag and I went home, and I worked from home that weekend.
The only thing that found it easy to get out of China was COVID, but yep. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do us. Let's go to a break. And the newest ad from Super Cheap Auto. Full credit to the noise. G'day, Super Cheap Auto's Dodgest employee, former legend here, and offer some incredible post-Talpo specials for you at Australia's leading auto spares, parts and accessories retailer. What about this? A Sydney Motorsport Park two-way car air freshener. Hang it off your mirror and turn your left vents on and it smells like a beautiful biscuit factory. But turn your right vents on and it's got the whiff of dead dogs and warm yogurt. Just $8 for a limit of 2 per customer. Why not come in and grab a Daniel Ricciardo seat warmer, perfect for those winter mornings when you've got a seat you need to keep warm for someone else. Only $19. Looking for something for the kids? How about a Brody Kostecki smiling face mask? Even if you're feeling sad, whack this face mask on and tell the world you're happy. Just $2 while stocks last. Want to lower your insurance premium? Grab hold of one of these Lance Stroll collision avoidance systems. Compatible with every make of car except Aston Martin's, this alarm system takes the worry out of having a bumper-to-bumper crash, and they're only $108. And if you're heading out camping with your caravan, grab a pair of these Kravitz & Croft caravan chocks. Shaped like the two great men, these chocks go perfectly under your tyres to stop your caravan from rolling downhill, and they're just $230 a pair. Get down to Super Cheap Auto before these specials walk out the door, and I'll see you next month for more supercar specials. Yes, welcome back to Full Credit to the Noise. Any of those products grab your attention there, Avio?
I'll have one of those air fresheners, those SMP air fresheners. I haven't.
It's a real roll of the dice from what I can make out.
Yeah, I'm having one of those straight away.
Well, after each supercar round, we do a four-letter headline. So let's do four-letter headline for probably the most the drivers and the things that popped up during the round that got most of our attention. So let's start with the overall round, the supercars round at Taupo. Four-word headline for that, please, AVL.
Finn's the big winner. Finn's Bistro in the main street did a heck of a lot of business over the weekend. Let me tell you that much. Former, The 2 Mile Bay Sailing Club didn't go too badly either, but yes, there was lots of familiar faces if you work in supercars and unfamiliar faces for those who usually work at Finns, I'm guessing, popping up over and over again over the weekend. It was the economic benefit of a big event, you know, working at its finest.
The Paragon restaurant from Goulburn has now been moved over there to the Finns in Taupo.
Yeah, exactly.
My four-word headline is nice scenery, okay racing. It looked spectacular. The mountains, the clouds, everything else looked spectacular. The racing was fine. It was good in the wet. It was a slow burn in the dry, but it was good. It was a good round. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's just good to go to different round to different places. It's always interesting to try and figure that track out.
Yeah.
All right, let's head to the drivers. Will Brown, he finished ninth in race one. He finished first in race two. Your four-word headline, please.
T8's unexpected team leader. I still just didn't see this coming, you know, and I know it's early, but he is the man at Triple Eight at the moment.
My four-word headline is read the fucking script. Will, this is not how it's meant to be. We'll go out. I laughed when you said Dutto's going to go out the back and try and figure out what Will's doing. I bet you they are. Well done to Will Brown. He's absolutely flying. And like you said, I think he has made some people reestimate where they actually think he fits in the whole field at the moment, because he is going extremely well. I
will put my hand up for that. I thought he was going into Brock's team.
Yep.
And it was going to be hard going, and he is proving me wrong in a very spectacular fashion at the moment, which I'm more than happy with, because if what we saw on the weekend is what we're going to see more of, and I really bet we are, it's really great that they're going at it in the way they are.
I was the bloke that called him Will Bottas. I'm starting to regret that.
Yep.
Brock Feeney, he finished 21st on Saturday, and then he finished second on Sunday. What's your four-word headline?
Not good Will Hunting.
It'll
be interesting to see what that investigation you just mentioned into why Brown was so much quicker on Sunday does yield. I still rate Brock massively.
Absolutely.
He's a star. He's got many championships coming in his future. But I reckon he'll be wanting to get back on top there, or at least close that gap in pace sooner rather than later.
My forward headline is 2023 Will Brown playbook, because his goods are good, but his bads are a little bit further down the back than what Will's are at the moment. So, I worry, because that's where he started last year, and then he dropped off even further as the year went on, but that was probably for different reasons. Anton DePasquale, third and third, your forward headline, please.
Boy, he needed that. There's been a lot of talk about DJR sniffing around Brody. We know that Kai Allen is waiting in the wings there, so the DJR drivers are under pressure. Ending the weekend on top when the cars finally had some pace was important for ADP, even if Davo did have his measure on the Saturday, you know, to put together a weekend like that coming off a pretty tough run of form. That was a very good outcome for him.
Mine simply says DJR, get a trophy, because finally there's something to sort of put in the cabinet.
Actually, all right. Just while I think about it, like DJ reminded me of it. I think I actually like this live pit lane order thing.
I think I've come
around on it. I thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard of when it first got announced. I think I actually like it. It does create some interest, and you do sort of go, "Wow, these guys are right down the back," and then they go to fourth. I think it creates a lot more interest than I ever thought it was. I thought it was just going to be a gimmicky sort of silly thing. It'll all calm down, obviously, as the season wears on and everyone sort of falls into their place in the pecking order. But there's still, I think teams don't really like it, but I actually think it's provided more entertainment than I ever thought it would.
So coming, you just said they'll come back to fourth, will they?
Yeah, I think it's fourth. I think they're into fourth now.
Jesus, because they were south, man. They were so far down that pit lane.
Yeah, that was second last.
Yeah. All right, what about this one, bud? Brody Kostecki, 14th and 12th. What's your four-word headline for Brody?
The rust is real. I thought Brody would stroll straight back in and run right at the front, to be honest, but he looked a little rusty on the weekend. I'll be honest, he didn't look overly enthusiastic.
I agree.
It's clearly still a difficult situation that that they're all dealing with there. And I thought he might make a bit more of an on-track impact in his first race back. At the same time, I'll be very surprised if he doesn't win races at some point this year as well. So
yeah, my forward headlines are very much the same. Scraping the rust off. And I think there's a little bit to get off. And it's funny you say that. I just thought, wonder whether it was me imagining it, but he just didn't look 100% like he did last year. All right, Chaz Mostert, 22nd and 7th. What's your forward headline for poor old Chaz?
Mostert calls for CPS ban. And funnily enough, he did actually say in the press conference on Friday that he thinks that supercars should drop the CPS entirely for these events. And I bet he wished that they'd taken that advice on Friday night and got rid of the stops immediately, because they did not go well for him at all. He would have been better off just not doing pit stops, I think, for most of the weekend. But he was bloody fast, but particularly on the Saturday. So I still think that there's obviously, it just hurts his championship so bad with those, you know, with particularly with Saturday's result when it could have been so different. But you know, at least car pace is encouraging.
I've got a theory on Chaz, and it's unproven, so don't hold me to it. But I feel like Chaz goes better when he's driving in other series. And I think those runs in the Ferrari help him along the way. I just feel like he was low level flying on Saturday until bad luck took him out. I just feel like he goes well when he mixes his driving up.
I think it happens to a lot. It happens to a lot of drivers, but because I think they enjoy going to do different things.
Yeah.
But then they sort of come back to their comfort zone as well, and it sort of all feels so kind of natural, and like this is where they can really perform because there aren't those little bits and pieces that they're sort of trying to work out. Mm. So I think it's, you know, good confidence boost to go and win in other categories.
Absolutely.
I think Cam was sort of up and about a bit as well. You know, they finally announced the second part of his NASCAR truck deal.
Yep.
You know, and he's sort of come back and he's not sort of necessarily just in the grind of doing supercars. He's got other stuff going on, and suddenly he's like, oh, this is great, you know, but I'm sort of back in my comfort zone a little bit. I feel like I can really push here, whereas I'm not in that learning phase. I think it definitely has a positive upswing on the attitude of these drivers.
My forward headline for Chaz was new way to lose, because even though he looked like a winner, this is just another way that they've kind of just given one away. In 2024, yeah, a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
All right, Nick Percat, speaking of, 19th and 16th over the weekend. What's your forward headline for Nick?
Ooh, don't mention the quali yips. Two 24th place starts, less than ideal for a guy who struggled so much in qualifying at WAU. He binned his good lap on Saturday, so that wasn't necessarily pace reflective, but on Sunday it was actually a genuine lack of pace. They just couldn't get the car to grip up, and that track was brutal. If you couldn't turn the tire on, it was just, you were so slow, and that's what kind of knocked them around. I guess there's probably some, you know, for MSR as a whole, that's the, you know, they have taken a step forward, that team. They've learned stuff. They've become a contender on their right day, but, you know, there's still going to be tough days out there. That's what's going to happen.
My forward headline for Nick is Ryan Walkinshaw says hi. I'm sure there was a little bit of, just a little bit of comfort in watching Nick at the other end of the field for this weekend. Not that you should get a lot of joy out of people's bad luck, but yeah.
No.
Anyway.
Let's
go to this one. Ryan Wood, 4th and 10th. What's your forward headline around the young gun from WAU?
My forward is, he's pretty fast, which I still think, like, he made a mistake on his outlap on Sunday, which cost him a podium. But yeah, you can tidy all those edges. Like, that's the stuff you can get right. But
100%.
Even when he was ripping around in the rain, sort of with Chaz in sort of seeing distance on the Saturday, like, that's pretty impressive for a guy that was in his 7th supercars race.
Yep.
And like, let's be honest, he basically didn't do the first two because he was out on the first lap. So like, that's the bit you can't teach, which is just driving the crap out of the car. He can do that bit. Yep. You know, you can sort, even binning it in the shootout or whatever on the Sunday, you can fix that. You know, that's the bit you can fix, but getting it in the shootout in the first place is the bit that you can't teach. So, yeah, I think that there's some excitement building over this bloke down my there
forward,
at WAU.
My forward headline is 2023 Matt Payne playbook.
Yeah.
He is pretty much, look, he's going to have rounds where he mightn't be anywhere, and he's going to have rounds where he might make mistakes, but geez, he's exciting. Like he was messing with some big boys and holding his own on Saturday in the wet AVL, in the wet.
Yeah, totally. Know?
Mate, he was very, 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 very exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Finally, I thought I'd throw this one in. What's your forward headline for Mark Larkham?
Miss the lead, bro. I love Larko. He's a fan favourite for a reason and an excellent bloke, but starting the first Brody chat of the weekend on TV, you know, intentionally saying, you know, well, let's not talk about the biggest story of the decade, I think was a bad look for the sport, and kind of served as a completely unnecessary reminder that the broadcast is produced by Supercars Media, you know? And this is not actually Larko's fault. You know, we all knew that Brody wasn't going to say anything, and Larko was leaning into that. He was obviously just trying to make Brody comfortable and sort of say, hey, we're not going to talk about this stuff. He was never going to press Brody on it. He shouldn't, you know, I mean, it'd be great if he did, but that's never what the purpose of that interview was. At the same time, so outwardly giving it the, you know, nobody cares about this, obviously, treatment was something that just needed to be better managed before they went to air. There had to be a plan to deal with that, whether it was like, hey, Brody, like, just tell us about your day. Hey, Brody, you know, what can you say? What can't you say? But to just, to actually, you know, take it away from him entirely and say, well, no, but you know, we're definitely going to talk about this. It was a really bad look because it is such a big story and it's still such a big story.
I totally agree. My forward headline for Larko, again, I love him just like you do, mate. And I definitely would want him on any coverage, but won't win a Walkley. It'd be like getting the exclusive interview to Ivan Milat and saying, let's not talk about all those dead tourists. What do you think about nature?
Yep.
How do you feel about bushwalking, Ivan? I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Highlight it. Like you said, mate, say it's great to have you back. What are you hoping for the rest of the year?
It should have just been open with, you know, what can you say? What do you want to say right now? And then just let Brody manage it how he wanted to manage it, but to so obviously push the conversation away from the one thing that the fans want to hear about, didn't work.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to a break, and then we'll come back for Rear of Grid, including the Mum's Life Challenge.
Full credit to the noise.
Right now, if you're scaffing, critting, screeding, HVACing, dunny diving, or electrician and sparking, then you don't want to be sitting on the side of the road with a work truck that's smoking. You could get an insurance company that includes roadside assistant for when your work truck ain't starting and needs towing. Get on to truckassist.com.au. It's insurance to keep on earning and bacon and egg rolling. Limits and exclusions apply. Consider the PDS and TMD on the Truck Assist website.
Yes, welcome back to Rear of Grid, the final segment for Full Credit to the Noise for this week. All right, let's just get straight into it because I'm not confident. This is the Mum's Life Sticker Challenge. I'm going to make a statement. AVL is going to tell me whether it's a lie or whether it's a fact. If he gets it right, it's another point to him. If he gets it wrong, it's a point to me, and I need points. Currently, it's 7-4 your way.
What was the biggest lead? What was the biggest
this
lead before
it.
I went?
Three.
Is this the biggest lead?
Yeah, you've had three once before.
Yeah, then I went on I just binned it.
Yes.
Binned it badly. This is where I start to get the speed wobbles up, so I'm a little nervous right now. But we'll be good. Let's go.
Whoever loses at the end of the year has to put a hashtag Mum's Life sticker on their car for the entirety of 2025. Maybe even their race car. Who knows? Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
It's been brought up, yep.
Righto, I'm going to make a statement. Do you know who Brian Johnson is?
No.
Okay, he's the lead singer of ACDC. You might have heard of him. They're a little band.
Yes, yeah. Right. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
In 2016, legendary ACDC frontman Brian Johnson was forced to take a sabbatical from the band, with the official announcement coming from band management saying that Brian was getting his hearing operated on and would be leaving the band for the foreseeable future. Johnson didn't return to the band until September in 2020 during COVID, remember that? And in his recent autobiography, Rock or Bust, Johnson revealed that the reason he split with the band was after a blue he had with Angus Young when he was told when he told Angus that he needed their 2016 tour rescheduled so he could drive his Richard Petty edition Ford Mustang GT in the Goodwood Festival. True or false?
I'm going to go true.
7-5, baby.
Damn it.
He doesn't have an autobiography called Rock or Bust. I made that up. He did go out with hearing, and him and Angus did have a blue. But he does on the other side, have a Richard Petty edition Ford Mustang GT, and he has driven in the Goodwood Festival before.
Yeah, I had a memory that there was something along those, that, you know, he had some involvement in it. So I was just going on the true there.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was a bad move. That's all right. That's okay. Bad.
Thanks to that listener who helped me with that one. That was a good piece to throw in. All right.
Good job. No, it was well. It was well crafted. It was well crafted. It. It got me.
Quickly, the whisper of the week. I'll toss this one out there. We might take it out if you think it's too sensitive. There will be at least one two-car supercar team up for sale by year's end. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Fan letter of the week. Don't forget, you can message us on all of the socials at FCTTN Podcast. That's Instagram, Facebook, and X/Twitter. You can get hold of AVL on his TikTok account, AVL Dances. And this one comes from Mick Builder on Facebook, and he says, "Hey, AVL and Legend, I love the show. I've been a supercar fan slash follower since it began. I also watch various other forms of motorsport across the world. I can't help but think that supercars should implement putting cars in parc fermé after qualifying. Let them start the race with the fuel they have on board, the tyres they have, and the setup. Remove the stupid fuel drop rule and give them better tyres and enough to have a crack in the race. And remove any compulsory stops and let them go at it. What are your thoughts?"
I mean, we've seen categories do this before where you have to, you know, qualify with supercars did it. You know, they had the parc fermé rule. I think 2020, it was sort of one of the COVID rules where you had to qualify. I may be wrong on the absolute timing of that, but it is a path we've gone down before. I kind of feel like it does have the potential to ruin the spectacle of quali. And one of the few guarantees that you get, you know, on any given race weekend is that qualifying will be good.
Mm.
Like, it's always just good. It's great. It's great to watch, you know. So I think you sort of run the risk of dumbing down qualifying a little bit, and you don't actually have any guarantee that the race is then going to be an absolute barnstormer. And I've never seen any great evidence to the fact that it really works. At the same time, I certainly see some merit in trying to sort of hobble the race package a little bit. You know, obviously, I think you do it more by reducing practice time. You know, I think it's reducing practice time or qualifying earlier in the weekend before guys have a chance to really refine their cars and trying to give guys more of an opportunity to, you know, if you don't qualify well, to make sure you've got a really good race car and to be able to try and come through the field. Because, again, line the cars up, the fastest one in the front, the slowest
that's
one in
right.
the back.
Yeah, and that's what there's we get back
good
to, right?
That they don't, that there won't be all that much overtaking because, you know, guess what? This is the order they start the race in.
Yep.
So that would be a format change that I would look at first, is actually giving guys more practice time between, you know, less practice time when they roll out the truck. Let's set a grid and then let's let guys try and work on what they've got underneath them so that maybe we've got cars, you know, fast cars out of position for the race.
I'm all for trying anything because, as you said.
Yeah, me too, 100%.
One of the things we do is put the fastest at the front and the slowest at the back, and then wonder why that's how they finish most of the time. It's not rocket science, is it? All right. That'll about do us for this episode of Full Crew of the Noise. Don't forget, you can find this show on all the socials at FCTTN Podcast. You can read AVL's excellent work at speedcafe.com. Don't forget, if you want to read all the big breaking news, head over to Speed Cafe. Until next time, I've been Former Legend. He's been AVL, should say. Sorry, brother. And this has been right, Full Credit to the Noise.
It's been a long week.
I'm not doing well. And we'll see what the track in a couple of weeks at least. But yeah, enjoy your week.
Bye. Full Credit to the Noise.